And welcome to Sam Nation, Sam Rejofsky, Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, where do we begin? First, if you hear me struggling today, started last week, I was in Mexico. Okay, I can admit it. I can talk about this now. I was in Mexico. I went to Mexico City for 3 days, week before last. And I picked up the Black Death is what I picked up. I don't know what this thing is. It's gotten deep into my bronchial tracts and has set up residence there. My doctor has given me every prescription under the sun, and I'm getting through it. So fear not. If you hear me chortling here behind the Sam Nation microphone, just know that I am struggling to get through, but get through I shall. Mexico. Yeah, Mexico City, beautiful place. I don't know if you've been. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. It is not nearly as unsafe as people make it sound, which is always very interesting. I tell people, because I've been before, one of my favorite places. And people say to me, well, they always say two things, right? They say, it's so unsafe. Oh my gosh, Sam, it's so unsafe. I've heard it's the most unsafe place in the world. And, you know, and yeah, well, it was nice knowing you, and I hope your affairs are in order. And the other thing people say is, you're not going to wear your Trump socks there, are you? And the answer, well, I'll start with the first one. The first premise. So it's just like any city. It's a huge place. I think they've got about 20 million people or so in the greater Mexico City metropolis. So when you're landing in Mexico City, that's all you see. I mean, you see houses for miles and miles and miles. It's enormous. But the other thing about it is it's like any other city. It's got parts to it. There are good parts and there are bad parts. Here in LA, we have the same exact thing. I love hearing from West Siders. Oh, that's Mexico City. That's so... What would you do? Sam, come on. And I'm thinking, don't you know where to go and where not to go? I mean, there are places on Sunset where you don't turn right when you're coming from the West Side. And you know where those are. And that's what you do. And so as a visitor, you have to know where to go. But they've got Uber. In fact, I think Mexico City's one of the most important places for Uber right now. And I've got to tell you, I've been there before. I've been there pre-Uber. And I remember driving around having to take hotel cars. What a mess, because you really don't necessarily want to trust the cabs there. But the Ubers are great, and it's like here, you get to talk to regular, interesting people. And some of these drivers, I'm telling you, so if you don't Uber, anywhere you go, you'll always run into interesting people. And I don't, to point number two, I wore my Trump socks. I did on Sunday, my last day there. In fact, I was having breakfast at a trendy little cafe in Polanco, which is the you could say the Beverly Hills of Mexico City. And I'm sitting, and there's a bunch of, you know, well-to-do Mexico City dwellers. Probably most of them are Mexican. And I'm sitting there, and I've got my legs crossed, and one of my Trump socks is plainly visible. And this table next to us starts laughing. I mean, they loved it. They loved my Trump socks. They were a huge hit. And I don't know. I'm just to tell you that people are of all stripes all over. And I never, you know, as a conservative and as a reasonable American, I have nothing but great relationships with everyone that I meet in Mexico. I always do. So I have a feeling this is all going to work out, even with a Trump presidency. So what a week. A lot to talk about. I want to I think what I want to do here is to frame this whole thing and start off with Obama's absolutely incredible, incredible press conference that he gave following the Orlando massacre. And if you've seen it, and maybe you saw it or you caught snippets of it on cable, but I'm telling you, this is the most incredible thing I'm not surprised, but this thing was so whiny and so petulant and so self-involved that I couldn't even believe what I was listening to. Because think about it. 49 Americans are dead. And Obama gets up, the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, gets up and gives a press conference. And it is 95% about him, his policies, his superiority over everyone else. And any mention of the catastrophe, of the issue, of any of sympathy is second, if not third or fourth in his place of priorities. And I'm going to explain to you why. I know you might be tuning in and saying this is no. I listened to it. It was thoughtful. The thing is, you didn't hear the whole thing. You listened to the clips of it that were selectively played for you. And there's an enormous imbalance when you look at how much time he devotes to talking about the sympathy to the victims and then the rest of it. Well, we'll play some clips because it's you can even tell it in his tone. You can tell in his tone. He's so furious that his anti-terror policies are being questioned. And they ought to be questioned because We'll get into it. The most important thing I can tell you about this press conference is that for the first time in 8 years, someone has gotten under Obama's skin, deep under his skin. And when you watch him give, watching him get up there and blabber, and he blabbered, he got, we'll play some of the clips. You know, the guy's glib. I mean, he's a very, very good public speaker. This is how he's packaged himself. Eloquent, thoughtful, erudite. But he got up there and blathered and got petty. And it's because deep under his skin is Donald J. Trump. I'm telling you, this Trump is so... He has gotten to Obama, and this, I think, sums up exactly the success of Trump in this election cycle and why no one, you can't frame it in standard metrics. You can't frame it with, here's his campaign, and we've talked about it here. His campaign, focus groups? Trump is his own focus group. Paid staff? I think he's got like 60 paid staff right now. Think about that. 60. Lean and mean. I don't know. What paid a donor class? What donor class? Data? Big data? Know who your voters are? Nothing. So everybody's been poo-pooing this. Oh, this guy's not going to get anywhere. He's not going to get anywhere. But this is it. I think Obama wishes he is missing the days of Mitt Romney. Missing the days of Mitt Romney running against Romney. I mean, that was whatever premise Obama threw out, Romney lapped it up and immediately accepted it and tried to resolve it in terms that he couldn't. You can't resolve things that are fundamentally wrong. And one of the things that are just fundamentally wrong is this idea that Islamic terror is fringe. But Sam, hold on. Whoa, you didn't mean that. You didn't mean... I mean, come on. You can't... I mean, we know there are so many good Muslim people out there and can't throw Islam all under... Can't. There's a problem here. There's a fundamental problem, and it's not just a fundamentalist problem. Because what you have, and this tragedy again shows, gets right to the issue of it. When you have a mosque 40 miles away from where the Orlando shooter lived, a mosque that the Orlando shooter and his family attended, that invites Islamic preachers to come and give religious discourses. They invite people. There was a guy they invited who actually said, and it's recorded, the compassionate thing to do to homosexuals is to just kill them.
Death is the sentence. I mean, look, there's nothing to be embarrassed about this. Death is the sentence. But we have to have that compassion for people. With homosexuals, it's the same. Out of compassion, let's get rid of him now.
He said that. That's not an out-of-context statement. That's not a, well, that's just one guy. Okay, you're right, it's one guy. Let's forget for a minute that there are thousands of guys like him, but he gets invited into a mosque that caters to, and again, I'm going to say this, mainstream Muslims. Where was the condemnation? And I'm not looking for the condemnation now, but where was it then? So when we get back, let's get into this. I'm going to show you these. Let's go to this speech. Let's go to Obama's press conference. You've got to listen to these. Unbelievable. Back after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is James Bergener. Finally, there's a weekend radio show that doesn't suck. Listen to Sam Nation with me every Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, let's get right to this. Let's get right to this press conference that Obama gave after Orlando, because we can't really move on until we understand where he's coming from. And we were just talking about, if you're just tuning in, we were talking about Islam. Okay? We've got an Islam problem. And the problem is you've got these mosques that are mainstream, but they're inviting preachers that preach terrible, hateful things, and there is no condemnation of it. And it's happening all across America, concretely and specifically, no more than 40 miles away from the site of the shooting. There was a mosque that invited a preacher who came and declared to the congregation that, what? There's nothing, as a Muslim, there's nothing more you can do, nothing more compassionate that you can do for a gay person than to kill him. Think about that.
Death is the sentence. I mean, look, there's nothing to be embarrassed about this. Death is the sentence. But we have to have that compassion for people. With homosexuals, it's the same. Out of compassion, let's get rid of him now.
And think about what would happen if that person came to your church. Would you hang around, listen to it? I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's this. So let's just bear that, put that away in one little corner, and let's get at Obama's remarks. So, you know, he gets up and he immediately begins talking about the fight against ISIL. He calls it ISIL. We're just going to say ISIS here. And so this talk is just, this whole thing's framed about ISIS, the ISIS confrontation. And let's go ahead and play clip number one, Rob.
Since before I was president, I've been clear about how extremist groups have perverted Islam to justify terrorism. As president, I have repeatedly called on our Muslim friends and allies at home and around the world to work with us to reject this twisted interpretation of one of the world's great religions.
Okay, so right there, the entire premise of what he says is wrong. Was this in the Atlantic? The Atlantic, I think back in February, March, came out with a piece. And the Atlantic, mind you, okay, the Atlantic is no right-wing publication, all right? They come out with a piece all about, it was long, so many, a lot of people probably didn't read it, but they talked about the things that we fundamentally misunderstand or don't get or have just completely missed in the West regarding ISIS. And one of the things that they say is that we want to contextualize our enemy. We want to understand them in terms that we get. We want to secularize our enemy because we are secular. Let me explain that. America's a fairly religious country. You do the polls and, you know, it's a large number of Americans believe in God. But of those believers in God, by and large, we are secularists. Example is you go to church on Sunday, but you wake up in the morning and you send your kids to public school. And in public school, you know, there's no prayer and, you know, it's just education. It's life. Yeah, we take our civics. We place our country as an organization somewhere ahead of ourselves if we're patriotic. We are a secular country. And in a good way, because it goes back to our First Amendment, which allows the free practice of religions. Okay? Which means that in order for me to practice my religion and you to practice yours and us to not be in conflict, we have to interact somewhere on some neutral ground as Americans. And so, you know, the word secularism in that context is not a dirty word. In fact, it's a very good word. It's a word that encourages us to meet on neutral ground as neighbors and as citizens, as residents of this great country. Now, the problem is that the medieval barbarity that is ISIS is rooted in Islam. You know, when these guys get in these videos and you see these caliphate videos, you know, they're slickly produced and people's heads being chopped off. What they say things, you know, there's some good. Where's these quotes? There's some really good quotes about some of the stuff that they say. You know, for example, they go and they talk about. So there's a guy, this spokesman for ISIS, Abu Muhammad Adnani. And he's prominently featured in all these videos. And Adnani talks about, well, he goes, we will conquer Rome, break your crosses, and enslave your women. Okay. What other stuff has he said? It's interesting. He said things like, we're going to, you know, what he called, the best part was he called John Kerry. What did he call him? Called him, a uncircumcised geezer. He said, we're going to, you know, stone the infidels. But all these quotes, this is what I'm trying to get at. All these quotes that are used in these videos. All these expressions that sound kind of, we don't get them really. They sound corny to us. All these expressions are really rooted deeply in the theology of Islam. So some of these quotes, I found the list here, deep in my stack of stuff. Says he's calling on Muslims in Western countries, such as France and Canada, to find an infidel, and that means an unbeliever. An infidel is anyone who does not practice Islam, has not converted and is not practicing Islam. And smash his head with a rock. It's a quote. Poison him. Or run him over with a car. Or to destroy his crops. Now, to our little Western ears, you know, we're listening to this. And this is just some nonsense, you know. These are the ramblings of a lunatic. What does Obama say? To reject this twisted interpretation of one of the world's great religions. But here's the thing. These are actual biblical punishments that are laid out in the Quran. This is rooted in the theology of the religion. And so we got to talk about it. And people in the media, people even like me, are afraid to. We're afraid to talk about it. And I want to get more into that. We're going to talk more about that on Sunday, tomorrow, because I want to get into the whole free speech component of this and why we cannot give up this fight. And I'll tell you, there are places in Western countries that the fight has been given up. And we can't let that happen here. But the thing about it is that this Adnani guy, he's not just talking trash, right? He's referring not just to theological things, the theological arguments in Islam, but it's a legal discussion that involves the enforcement of Islam that we also know as Sharia law. Okay? I don't want to lose you here, but this is it. Right away, Obama, we're talking about Obama's speech. We're talking about how he's, you know, his press conference. And right away, the first thing Obama says, well, you don't just, it, what, don't, please, let's not throw out all of Islam because of just a few people that have twisted the interpretation of one of the world's great religions. And that's just it. He doesn't believe it. He does not believe it. And you can't confront a problem. The premise is that there's a problem. There's a guy that has been born in the U.S. He's gotten the benefit of everything that this great country has to offer. And yet he still pledges his allegiance to ISIS, where he's never grown up, never lived, as best as we know. And he comes and he murders 49 people because of his religion. And we're not allowed to say that. And I think we need to change that. So what about this term radical Islam? Let's play clip number two, because this is where it just even goes from bad to worse.
There's not been a moment in my 7.5 years as president where we have not been able to pursue a strategy because we didn't use the label radical Islam.
He can't even say it.
Not once has an advisor of mine said, man, if we really use that phrase, we're going to turn this whole thing around. Not once. So if someone seriously thinks that we don't know who we're fighting.
Yeah. That somebody is me and a whole lot of other Americans, Mr. President. Because here's the thing. To be a leader, you've got to have. It takes more than just being a Harvard educated lawyer. You've got to have some convictions that come from inside of you. And the reality is that Obama does have convictions. He does. And it took us this long to figure out what they are. You know what? Here's the problem right now. Here is this, and we were going to play this clip from this show years from now. I don't like to toot my own horn, but sometimes we have to. This week of the Orlando shooting is going to be a turning point in American politics. There's an epochal shift that is going to move the earth beneath our feet. And I'm going to tell you, this is the week that the left began to lose this ridiculous multicultural, please everyone, silence the opposition, hate speech, nonsense, BS that they've been pushing on us. It's out. Not out yet, but it's going to be out in due course. And here's the thing. Words do matter because words mean things. And if you can't if you don't understand what the enemy is looking to achieve, you're never gonna fight this problem. And I'm gonna explain to you the best way to look at it is. The best way to look at it is, who do you let in? And who's going to get radicalized, and how do these fighters come here? And it's not what we think, and it's certainly not what Obama thinks. Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation every weekend.
Do you remember when Obama called ISIS the JV squad? Do you remember that, when the JV team? You know, you can't. Welcome back, folks. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. So we were talking about Obama's speech. I keep calling it the speech because that's really what it was. It was a giant lecture. It wasn't a press conference. It was him blowing off all this, you know. Well, it was petulant. It really was. It was a big, whiny, woe's me tantrum. And it really showed off a significant failure in leadership. Here is where we get to the kind of the root of it. When you call ISIS the JV squad, and then for months let them, I don't know, expand their territory 3-4 times, do nothing, don't react, don't fight back, exercise a policy of appeasement, sign a nice little sweet deal with Iran, placating Iran. What does that mean? I mean, what? When I'm sitting there listening to my president tell me that a really frightening enemy that is throwing, well, let's just start with executing hostages, Western hostages, left and right, killing children, maiming people, chopping off people's body parts, throwing gays off of buildings. Think about that. Wait, and they're advertising it. And then they're directing, inspiring attacks in Europe, in the United States. And the president says, on reflection, you know, looking back at some of what he said, he calls them the JV squad. I think words mean things, Mr. President. I think if you say they're the JV squad, you're not taking them seriously. Because if you're missing the sports analogy, right, you've got varsity. That's where all the good players are. And the JV squad is where your wannabes go. I think calling ISIS wannabes back whenever it was really, really, really demonstrates the amount to which you, and yes, these advisors, because we played this clip where Obama talks about how his, you know, not once has an advisor of mine said, man, if we use that phrase, we are going to turn this whole thing around. And that phrase being radical Islam. And in the quote, when you play the clip, and we played it last segment, I'm not going to do it again, but we play the clip, he can't even, it's like, because we didn't use the label radical Islam, he can't even get it out. He can't even say it. If you can't say something, you don't believe it. And I know this because I come on this program and I really bear my opinions. And there are things that I believe strongly. And I can't get it. I can't sit behind this microphone and tell you something that I don't believe with all my heart. And I also know that in life you follow your principles. No matter how unprincipled you might be, you'll follow your principles. If your principle is, I just want to make money, and that's what you follow. If your principle is, I want to do good to people, that's what you follow. If your principle is, I think that ISIS is the Frosh Soft team, then that's how you as president are going to lead a nation of 300 million people as the defender of the free world right back to complete and utter pacifism. It's astounding. And so when you talk about this attack that happened in Orlando, and all you want to do is put down Trump, because that's what he does. I mean, we'll get to that. This is a great clip coming up. But when you talk, all you want to do is put down Trump because he's rattled your cage, and you want to talk about gun control, and you don't, and you spend more than half of the press conference complaining about how dare anyone make this about radical Islam. You've missed the boat. It's a complete failure. So let's play clip number, let's see here. Yeah, you know, let's play clip number four, actually. This is a good one here. So this is kind of, this is where it all comes down to the nub of the issue.
Groups like ISIL and Al-Qaeda want to make this war a war between Islam and America, or between Islam and the West. They want to claim that they are the true leaders of over a billion Muslims around the world who reject their crazy notions. They want us to validate them by implying that they speak for those billion plus people, that they speak for Islam. That's their propaganda. That's how they recruit. And if we fall into the trap of painting all Muslims with a broad brush and imply that we are at war with an entire religion, then we are doing the terrorist work for them.
Okay, stop it. So, you know, we want to win this war, okay? The way we win the war is to keep our country safe. That's my fundamental belief here. Those 49 people shouldn't have died. That's how you win the war. And let's talk about some of this ridiculousness. Because, you know, this ridiculousness has started, the minute that we, ever since September 11th. Do you ever fly? Do you ever go to the airport and fly and notice that the TSA is there, you know, doing a pat down on Grandma Smith? You know, she's 89 in a wheelchair, shaking. Look, I'm not making fun of your old grandma, okay? I'm not. Don't get me wrong. Here's the deal. Grandma is not a terrorist. Grandma is not going to pull out a box cutter and take down the plane. You know who is? Yeah. That other guy over there. Okay? So and this is part of the lie that we're telling ourselves. Well, we're just gonna, well, it could be anybody. You know, there's terrorism. We are fighting terrorism. Yeah? You know the most absurd lie that the left has ever told is this idea of cultural equivalency between Islam and Christianity. Really? After Orlando, let me ask you something. Are you, as a gay person, what are you more scared of? A Mormon or a Muslim? Can we talk about that? I mean, now I know what you're saying, it's about people. It's about individuals. I can't. I think we need to start to. I really do. I really think that there's a conversation that has to happen with it. And it's something that needs to be said, because here's the thing. Here's the fundamental lie that Obama tells in this quote. In this clip that you just heard, where he says that, you know, he's talking about how this isn't a war between Islam and America. This is a war between us and ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And he says, they, meaning the leaders of ISIS, want to validate them by implying that they speak for those billion plus people, referring to Muslims worldwide. Well, I don't know. Let's talk about this for a minute. What do we got? I mean, you've got how many, do you know how many countries around the world execute gays? Yeah. 10. You can be killed for being gay in 10 countries in the world. Beautiful places like Iran and Iraq, Nigeria, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Sudan, United Arab Emirates. And why do I bring this up? Because if you count up all the people that live in these countries, we did the math. It's like 400 million people. So you can't stand up there, Obama, and say, well, you know, this doesn't, they don't speak for the billion people. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Only for 40% of them then. Whoops. My bad. It's important to know this. It's important to know that that there is a real, actual conflict. And it's not a conflict between ISIS and the United States. It is a cultural conflict. You don't want to call it a religious conflict, fine. It's a cultural conflict between Islam and the secular West. And what Islam wants to do is come, conquer, convert, and kill anyone who doesn't agree with them. And if you think I'm nuts, please, please look no further than what's happening in Europe. I mean, this fight started long ago, and one of the pioneers saying all these things was Geert Wilders in the Netherlands. And it's time it be confronted and called what it is. And where does this whole gun thing fall into all of this? I want to talk about that too. It's a gun rights issue, actually. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Attorney James Bergener. I get the best news and information for the week from Sam Nation every weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Last September, we talked about this a little earlier in the program, which if you didn't catch it, download the podcast, samnation.com. We've put the podcast up almost as quickly as the show's over, so it's up and ready for your pure enjoyment. So we were talking about this spokesperson for the Islamic Caliphate, a.k.a. ISIS, Sheikh Abu Muhammad al-Adnani. And he, back in September, called on all Muslims in Western countries to find infidels and, among other things, to run them over with their cars. So, if you're an infidel and you're cruising along and a disciple of ISIS wants to take you out, get out of the way. That's my first advice. But if you don't, if you can't get out of the way, and there it is. I just hope he's got some great insurance, because you know what? Your next call needs to be Attorney James Bergener. Sweet James! He'll sue ISIS. In fact, you know what? If he can sue Allstate, can I say that? I'm just going to say, I mean, some of these insurance companies, I got to tell you, they're fighting them is tough. You got to call the enemy what it is. You can't do the Obama thing. But radical Islam. No. You know what? Insurance companies, they are just in it for themselves. So if you've gotten yourself into an accident, any kind of injury, anything, and you're up against the insurance company and the insurance company starts telling you these platitudes about how they're going to take care of you and be so great and be so wonderful, don't believe it. Call Sweet James. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Okay, Well, you think I'm kidding? This stuff happens. Well, I remember there was an honor killing like this. There was a gal that disobeyed her family, and her uncle ran her over with her car in Texas. Yeah. But the thing is, you've got to understand that these crazy pronouncements that you see in these videos, these crazy things that are said, are actually influencing people that you know, that might be your neighbors, that live in your midst. This is no longer like crazy, nutty stuff to talk about. This isn't fringe. Because here's one thing I mentioned earlier in the hour, that article in The Atlantic. And one thing, it talks about the things that we've completely missed or we're completely blank on as Westerners, that Western civilization has missed about ISIS. And, the one of the things that we tend to look at jihadism, right, as this monolithic thing, that it exists as a single organization, right? And we kind of thought of it, we applied the Al-Qaeda logic to it, where it was central command, and then they, and then they franchised out, these different terror operations. But the Islamic State is nothing like Al-Qaeda, which is, again, back to why Obama is retarded, okay? Al-Qaeda, and then, there's a little fresh off ISIS, cute. Oh, ISIS, we're cute, little junior terrorists, you guys are. ISIS is a state, unlike Al-Qaeda, which was an organization. ISIS is a state. They control territory. They have a leader. Al-Baghdadi is his name. And, we actually had him in custody, in U.S. custody, and let him go. Yeah, shoot. We blew that one, boys, didn't we? Anyway, so the idea is that the thing that we have with ISIS is that they spend an enormous amount of resources producing these incredible videos, producing websites, tweeting. They're so active on Twitter, and we're gonna talk about this tomorrow, because over my dead body is Twitter getting away with what they're doing. Twitter, you should be ashamed of yourself. Shame on you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm covering this tomorrow. I'm out of time. So tomorrow, 6 p.m., tune in, and you'll if you don't know what I'm talking about, you prepare to have your blood boil. But where I'm going with this is, ISIS is a state. And unlike Al-Qaeda, where they planted these cells and they provided these cells with materials and assistance and everything, ISIS has done an incredible job at providing propaganda, the best produced. I mean, they've brought in people from the U.S., from Australia, from England, from Germany into the state who were top web designers and top video producers. They have all the best equipment, and they are producing the kind of propaganda that North Korea would weep if only they could put together. And why are they doing it? Because they want to radicalize a Muslim near you. That's it. But wait a minute, it's not about Muslims, it's just about terrorists. Okay. All right. So, I don't know what to tell you. What was the Charlie Hebdo attack in France about? That was, and nobody wanted, they didn't want to call it anything. They didn't want to call it Islamic terror. You remember this? The cartoonist in France, the cartoon that wouldn't bow to, they drew the Prophet Muhammad, and that's punishable by death in under Sharia law. Islam says punish the non-believers that would depict and make fun of the Prophet Muhammad. And that's it. Under religious sanction, a gunman broke in and slaughtered everyone inside. Now, you tell me what that is. Now, was that cell funded and organized? I mean, to some extent it was, but it was radicalized. It was radicalized by ISIS propaganda, and almost more importantly, sanctioned theologically by religious authorities in Islam. Okay? Think about that. So now, Obama's talking about how this is a gun control issue. And, you know, what did I say? Oh, my gosh. Can we just go back to June 5th? Again, I don't want to do this very often, but let's go back to June 5th and just let me, what did I say? Let me see here. What did I say about this, Robbie? Can we play, where's my clip number? You know, I want to talk about these gun-free zones because the real issue here is, that this was a club. But Sam, it's not a gun-free zone. Actually, let me tell you. If you're a holder of a concealed carry permit in Florida, where it's relatively easy to get a permit, you can't take your gun into a place where liquor is served. Did you know that? You cannot go into a bar. And the shooter knew it. He knew it. He knew that he was going to go to a bar and slaughter people for who they were because of his religion and because they were unarmed. So play what I said back from June 5th, clip number 6. If you're a terrorist, you're planning a big hit. Why are you planning a big hit? Because you want to take down as many people. Why? Because you want to be visible for your message. And mass shooters, whether they have a message or not, they're still looking for visibility. So, to get visibility, what do you need to do? You need to shoot a lot of people. What do you want them to be? You want them to be unarmed, right?
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing else to it, folks. There's nothing else to it.
This is a simple thing. More people die in gun-free. You know, gun violence is going down everywhere. There's just statistics to back it up. It's gun violence is declining overall, but going up in gun-free zones. Because shooters that want to do harm are going to places where they're not going to be stopped. And you cannot live in your la-la land left-wing paradigm bubble where you think, but we're just all going to get along. We're going to take guns out. France has total ban on guns. Total ban on guns. So what was the whole Bataclan shooting all about? Where did those guns come from? Well, I'll tell you where they came from, guys. They came from the black market. And instead of being a semi-automatic, let me get into a semi-automatic is you fire one shot at a time. Fully automatic is you squeeze the trigger and pa 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 pa. I'll put it to you simply, right? Semi-automatic is going to kill less people in a short amount of time. So instead of here the shooter buying a semi-automatic rifle, he would have gotten it through the black market, and it would have been the black market is flooded with military surplus. And that means he would have had a fully automatic weapon. God knows what else he would have done. And that's what happened at Bataclan. It's what happened during the Charlie Hebdo attack. You've got mass shootings in France where they have total gun control, because guess who gun control disarms? You and me. And so what our government wants, what Obama wants, his fantasy is to send us like lambs to the slaughter to meet our death so he can continue his politically correct paradigm alive in his head that is not grounded in the least in any kind of reality. And instead, we are the ones, we don't have the Secret Service protecting us. We're the ones going to bars. We're the ones going to restaurants. We're the ones going to sporting events. And this is why hashtag gays for Trump, it would be trending if Twitter weren't shutting it down. But gays all over are coming out for Trump. They realize he gets that Islam has a problem with homosexuality. He understands that Islam has a problem with our way of life. And in order for us to enjoy a secular country, gasp, gays are going to a Republican. Because the Republican is more likely than any Democrat to support our secular way of life. So when we come back tomorrow, 6 p.m., let me talk to you about how this ties into freedom of speech. This is not just about the Second Amendment. This is a fight for the First. And we've got to do it. We've got to come together as Americans, and we've got to make this happen. And so today I've decided to start that here on this program. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, visit us, samnation.com, podcast, Twitter, until they shut me down. Everything's on there. See you tomorrow night. Take care, guys. Over and out.